So as you can see, the title of our lesson is Transformation. Brother Arbor Frenex gave a talk on transformation. In fact, you might say every talk that we've heard has kind of addressed transformation, either directly or indirectly. Before we start our lesson today, I want to say that I have some big shoes to fill. This is an important discourse, the last one of the convention. It is the finale. The finale, according to worldly standards, is supposed to go out with a big bang. Well, there will be no big bang or 4th of July fireworks, but I hope you will get a blessing that will sustain you and make you stronger in the truth and love for the Lord. After all, this is the whole purpose of the General Convention, whether it be in 2021 or 1951. As I was preparing this lesson, I couldn't help but think about past brethren who gave this talk or gave talks at this convention. I had to reminisce. Let's reminisce together for the time being. I only have a few pictures to show you. I wish I had more. Remember Brother Walt Bleachers. Oops. Remember Brother Ray Krupa. Ed Fay. Unfortunately, I don't have a picture of Brother Ed. Remember Leo Post. And I don't have a picture of Brother Leo. Brother George Yike. Brother Sid Jones. Brother David Bruce. And finally, Brother Tim Thomason. These are just a few of our brethren who have given wonderful discourses without the aid of PowerPoint slides, I might add. I remember as a kid with my parents how I would love to sit in on that last discourse, even though I did not fully understand it. There was something special about it that kind of captivated me, realizing that this was the last discourse until the following year. Those discourses that I heard were certainly great discourses that brought an end to a glorious week of convention. This was also a glorious week, wasn't it? A little different from the past with Zoom, but still a wonderful week. It was filled with discourses, testimonies, singing, and sweet fellowship in our breakout rooms. As we reminisce, what made those past discourses great? They were activated by the sweet Spirit of the Lord. Only by being energized by the Holy Spirit can we accomplish anything worthwhile in our life. Without the power and influence of the Holy Spirit, our efforts will accomplish nothing of value for the new creature. This is why we pray for the Holy Spirit in accordance to God's will and wisdom for us. Those discourses had something else that made them great. They were given with the spirit of love and humbleness. This is what the Lord wants from all of us. As the slide says, the more humble we stay, the more God blesses us. He wants true humbleness and contriteness, unlike what we see in the world. Just to deviate a little, how do our politicians act? They talk about self. My policy will do this. They build on the spirit of fear, untruths, and half-truths. Our lessons are the complete opposite. We downplay self and give all glory to Jesus Christ. We build on the spirit of love, truth, kindness, and patience. So, how are we going to close the 2021 General Convention? I thought we would go back in time and maybe look at two or three of the great lessons from past speakers that made an impression on me. Time only permits us to look at just a few. Our comments will be our interpretation of their lessons using our own words and thoughts. Let's start with Brother Walt Bleachers from Detroit, Michigan, a brother who I love dearly, a brother that I grew up with as a kid and matured in the truth with. How many remember Brother Bleachers? I'm sure most of you have. His title of his closing discourse that he gave back in 1990 was, "What Now?" This is really a great question to ponder. What now? The implication is, what are you going to do with your life after spending a wonderful week feeding on spiritual food? Are you going back to the fishing business, as did Peter after our Lord's death? In my case, it is not the fishing business, but the retirement business. For the most part, with maybe a few exceptions, we will all go back to our everyday lives and pretty much take up where we left off. There will not be a radical 180 degree change in our life. I think this should be the case. This is good, not bad, provided we are living a consecrated life. The process of sanctification that leads to transformation is a step-by-step process. There are no deathbed conversions where you go to heaven saying, "I believe." It is a step-by-step process that takes a whole life, whether short or long, but in most cases, it is long. For most of us, it will consist of many steps. So what was the purpose of this convention? It was to help you take those transformation steps by giving you encouragements, lessons, and brotherly fellowship, even if it was by remote means. It was to make sure you have the peace of God growing in your life, not stagnant or diluted with the worldly spirit. We walk in a very narrow way, as the Bible says. If we compare our spiritual walk to a natural walk that we might take, do you want to walk on a narrow path with a 20% grade or a narrow path with very little grade? As a bike rider and hiker in California, I do not want to walk on a 20% grade. However, if I am fit, I can ride on a 10% grade and for short spurts, even a 15% grade. What is the lesson with this walking, bike riding analogy? Hopefully this convention will make your walk easier by making you more spiritually fit. How do we do this? By reflecting back on the lessons as best we can. By reflecting back on our fellowship. By putting into practice what we heard. Of course, we will forget most of what we heard from the platform. However, Brother Michael Nakora would say that despite forgetting most of what you heard, if your mental resolve to do better and put on Christ has increased, then this convention was worth it. It indeed made you more spiritually fit. Hopefully our meetings, talks, and lessons have made you more fit as new creatures so that when we metaphorically climb a 15% hill, you and me can do it. We can do it because if we are on a bike, this bike is actually a tandem bike with our Lord doing most of the pedaling and all the steering. Isn't this true in our actual lives? We want the Lord with us. In this very dangerous world, we need the Lord with us. And a great scripture on this is in Matthew. Let's read it. Matthew 11, 29 and 30. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our Lord is our friend, our closest friend in life. Yes, our closest. He will challenge us from time to time to go up a hill or steep grade. He will also warn us of danger as we are going downhill. Gravel in the road is a big danger for bike riders. Satan puts gravel in our road. Our Lord prayed for Peter when he was here on earth because he knew Satan desired to sift him. Our Lord does a lot more than this for us because he has risen. As the risen Lord, he has powers that are vastly superior to Satan. Our Lord actually removes some of that gravel in our individual walks and bike rides so we can go gleefully downhill, not losing our balance and falling. The lesson is that we need to be yoked and stay yoked with our Lord. To do this, we need conventions and class meetings. These activities are important in making us spiritually fit. Our discourses and our meetings will promote the peace of God in our hearts, making us more fit. Actually, we need both the peace of God and the peace of Christ controlling our spiritual lives. Paul says this about the peace of God and the peace of Christ. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In Colossians, Paul says this about peace, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. The peace in Philippians and Colossians are not mutually exclusive. If we have the one, we have the other. This is more than the peace of justification, but the peace of sanctification as we walk as body members in Christ. It is the peace that surpasses all human understanding. We need this peace as we walk. Bible students are very peculiar people, in case you didn't know. How many in the world can walk down a path with a roaring lion on it and have inner peace? We can, because there is a purpose in everything that happens to us. This purpose is not directed by our selfish desires, but is directed by God. It is not a purpose to have a big house, a wonderful career, or travel to faraway places. This is the purpose of my worldly friends, who I love dearly. Our purpose is to do the will of God, which is to be transformed into the image of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We must put on Christ. This is our purpose. The essence of Brother Walt Bleacher's talk is that our work does not stop after the convention or meeting. No, it is a daily process of making our spiritual minds stronger. By doing this, we will have the peace of God in Christ. Brother Tim Thomason gave a similar lesson in 2007. He talked about the daily process of a new creature in Christ. What does this process consist of? Brother Tim Thomason had the answer in his closing discourse. It consists of consecration, transformation, and evaluation. He got that thought from Brother Carl Hagensack, who probably got it from Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12. If we do these three things, we will maintain our spiritual glow, according to Brother Tim. This was the theme of his talk, maintaining our spiritual glow through transformation and evaluation. Let's read verses 1 and 2 in Romans chapter 12 on this. And these are well-known verses. In fact, they were read several times during this convention. Romans 12, verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. A living sacrifice is a consecrated life. A consecrated life dedicated to God is a wonderful life. This dedication has many aspects. It consists of doing his will, Bible study, helping others, loving others, praying, and sacrificing time and energy. It is a life that gives us a sense of purpose, meaning, and comfort. The world cannot understand this consecrated life. What would your neighbor say to you if you told him or her you spent the week sitting in front of your PC at a Bible student Zoom convention? They would probably think you're a little unbalanced or a little too extreme for their taste. If they do not understand now, they will understand in the kingdom. It is wonderful to spend a day and even a week listening to talks and fellowshipping. Of course, the point of consecration is transformation. Dedication is nice, but we must be transformed. Transformation, as we know it, is putting on Christ, emptying empty self so I can be filled with you. The verses after verse 1 and 2 in Romans 12 tell us what transformation is all about. If you only consider verse 1 and 2, you will shortchange your spiritual growth or transformation. You need to read the whole chapter. By doing this, this is where evaluation comes into play. We must be constantly evaluating ourselves to determine if our transformation is according to God's will. We do this with our Lord, for we know he is also evaluating us since we are in his school, the school of Christ. The point is that our evaluation is very important if we are to be pleasing to the Lord in his evaluation. We think Paul is pointing out the importance of correct evaluation and how we do it in verse 3. He says for us to do it with humility using sober judgment. Let's read verse 3 because it is very important. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. This is a lesson on humility versus pride. Paul is giving a caution against pride. The Roman brethren could be susceptible to pride by living in a very wealthy city filled with creature comforts, along with knowing the truth given to them by Paul. Pride was certainly a part of the Roman culture. Since the Romans were great at judging according to rank, wealth, and eloquence, Paul is telling them to be humble and to judge according to the faith God has assigned. Paul is saying, judge or evaluate yourself, but measure yourself not by worldly standards, but according to the faith God has given to us. We are to use spiritual standards. Paul tells us what these spiritual standards are in verses 9 to 21. Most Bibles call them marks of the true Christian as an added subtitle by the translators. These marks are our standard to measure ourselves. If we are progressing in these areas, then we will be maintaining our spiritual glow. Let's read what Paul says on what the first mark is. And this is in verse 9 and 10. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Wouldn't you know it? Love is at the top of the list as it should be. This is love without hypocrisy. The world is full of hypocrisy with fake tears and quivering speech. Hypocrisy has existed since the fall of Adam and is especially prevalent in the last days. This is probably why we enjoyed coming to meetings, because we are free from the hypocrisy of the world for a little bit. Not only do we hate hypocrisy, but we hate all forms of evil. We also realize that it is not our time to change or convert the world. So in many cases, we have to bite our tongue and cling to that which is good. I love verse 10, where Paul states that we are to have brotherly love. True brotherly love is giving preference to our brethren. We do not insist on our own way or ideas. We do not shun or say a brother is going out of the truth because of a date. Brotherly love is a complement to agape love. We need both. Both are important in ecclesia living. Our first evaluation mark is a very important one. We must put on the loving character of Christ, thinking of others before self, even willing to die for our brother. This is our intent, and this is at the top of our list on marks of a true Christian. The next one is in verse 11. We will read it from the New Living Translation, and it reads, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. We are not to be lazy Christians. A lazy Christian is a slothful one, as other translations read. On the other hand, we are to be fervent, full of zeal, helping one another, I would say this is a good spiritual thermometer. Are we bubbling over with enthusiasm? Are our classes active, and do we participate to the best of our ability? If we answer yes, then we are serving the Lord and getting a passing grade. Our next evaluation mark is found in verse 12. It is an important one, although they're all important. Verse 12 gives us the big three. Let's read about the big three. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. We need all three if we are to have spiritual glow. We need hope, tribulation, and prayer. We should be rejoicing Christians as Paul instructs in other places. We rejoice in knowing the plan of God and being called out of darkness into his marvelous light. There are so many things from God that we can rejoice over. We can even rejoice in tribulation. Tribulation brings us closer to the Lord. It purges us and refines us like gold. Because of this, we can endure it. We see the value. An athlete knows that if there is no pain, there is no gain. If we want to run a 4-minute mile, there is a certain amount of pain that we must endure in training. A Christian sees the benefit of tribulation as a gain in their spiritual life, not as a negative. Lastly, Paul is telling us the importance of prayer. We are thankful for the scriptures on what proper prayer is and is not. It is not vain repetition, or showy words. It is something given from the heart, showing our faith in the ransom sacrifice and God's providential care over us. How are you doing in hope, tribulation, and prayer? You do not have to answer now, but it is something to think about. Let's move on to verse 13. It reads, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. We recognize that the body of Christ is made up of many members whom we love. We are family. The truth family is a phrase that we use sometimes. If family, we stand ready to help, and we should be eager to help. Peter agrees with Paul and says this about helping others. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Grumbling is a good word to describe the wrong attitude to have with hospitality. Our hospitality should be done out of love, not as a requirement that we have to fulfill as part of a job. You know, there is a hospitality industry. Hotels and restaurants are big players in this industry. Things were a little slow last year with COVID, but the industry is coming back. People are trained to be hospitable. With Bible students, we might need training or a refresher course in hospitality. Although with some of us, and I'm not included, this quality is part of our character or nature. In either case, we need to put this quality into use. Our hospitality should come from the heart, based on love, not because we want to keep our job at the Marriott. The attitude on this slide is obviously the wrong attitude to have. Making your guests feel at home, even if you wish they were. We should look for ways to be generous and hospitable instead of waiting for opportunities to come to us. If we wait, we might have a long wait. Our next mark is related to hospitality. It concerns our actions towards others. How do we behave with those who oppose us, with those who are dealing with a burden? Paul gives us the answer. This is another mark in our evaluation. We will use the New Living Translation on this. Romans 12, starting with verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy, and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. If we can do these three things, we are being transformed. Unfortunately, the world does the complete opposite. Would a Palestinian pray to God to bless a Jew? They would rather fire off 4,000 rockets and complain to the UN about Jews killing their children. However, we know God will replace stony hearts with the heart of flesh. 10 men will take the skirt of the Jew and say, "Let us go together to the house of the Lord." Let us constantly work on our spiritual hearts to fulfill Romans 14, 15, and 16. We love our enemies as did Stephen when he was stoned. We want to give comfort to those in need, and be happy with those that are happy. So we weep with those who weep, and we're happy with those who are happy. And we call this trait being empathetic. The last one also concerns how we treat others. And this is Romans 12, verses 17 to 19. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, "I will take revenge. I will pay them back," says the Lord. To explain this one, I will use an anecdote that Brother Tim gave that is very appropriate. And I love this anecdote. I hope it brings a smile to your face. It seems a woman had a severe case of rabies, and her doctor said she would die. She immediately pulled out a paper and pen and started to write. The doctor asked her, "What are you writing? Your will?" She said, "No, I am making a list of all those who I want to bite." Well, needless to say, this is not our attitude. We do not want to render evil for evil or take revenge. Evil for evil and revenge was used in the Dark Ages by calling people heretics and burning them at the stake. It is more refined now, but we want no part in this. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. These are the marks of transformation that are in Romans chapter 12. I group them into a list. Four of the six concern our actions towards our brethren, friends, and even our enemies. To me, this shows that a consecrated life is more than faith. Yes, by faith we are justified, but we have to put this faith into action. Paul is emphasizing this point. James says, "I will show you my faith by my works." You can modify this and say, "I will show you my faith by my behavior to others." Paul continues this theme in chapter 13. He continues to talk about how we are to transform ourselves by spiritual standards, not worldly standards. He tells them not to delay in this great work. He says, Romans 13, 12, "The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So Then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. We are thankful that we have the armor of light. Hopefully this lesson will help you continue to use this armor of light effectively as we witness and interact with our brethren, our neighbors, as described by Paul in Romans. Now, I think my time is about up. I was going to say a few words by Brother Ray Krupa, but I don't think time will permit. So Brother Tim, I hope you forgive me for that. But I will say this. We really did love Brother Ray Krupa, and he had a unique way of putting things. He was a very emotional brother, and you could just feel that emotion was coming from his heart. And what he said back in 1993, when he gave the closing discourse, he said this. He said, "We had a great week." And I say this, we also had a great week in 2021. But there was one exception to our week as opposed to his week. The one exception was ice cream consumption. There was no ice cream consumption with the brethren at the end of every day this year. And we hope this will change come next year. But this did not prevent us from having a great week filled with many blessings. It started with a wonderful welcome address, and it just continued all week long. As in 1993, the welcome address in essence invited us to sit at the feet of Jesus and to be close to God. Imagine this. What a privilege and responsibility to draw close to our Lord and our Heavenly Father. Well, this made an impression upon me, Brother Ray's remarks. And he said back in 1993 that the brethren found the secret of being close to the Lord back in 1993. And I think we found it this week, even on Zoom.